Seeking mental health care can be overwhelming and even scary, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Dr. Josephine McNary, and I'm committed to making this process easier for you. Each week, my expert guest and I unravel a different form of therapeutic intervention in order to bring comfort and understanding and to help you get back to your true self. Hi, this is Dr. Josephine McNary, and welcome to Mind Stories. With the social distancing we are all currently practicing, there has been a surge in interest in online therapy. I'm grateful to have Dr. Sarah Shevitz share her time with us today. Dr. Shevitz is a licensed psychologist specializing in love and relationships and founder of the successful online psychology practice Couples Learn. She has been working with couples and individuals to improve their love lives for over 10 years. Dr. Sarah was recognized as one of the top three marriage counselors in Los Angeles. She has been featured in outlets such as Reader's Digest, Women's Health, Bravo TV, Ask Men, Self, and more. Her private practice is relatively unique in that she is one of the only doctoral-level couples therapists whose practice is 100% online. Welcome to the next episode of Mind Stories. Thank you, Sarah Shevitz, who is a psychologist working in the online space in couples and individual therapy. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a very relevant at this time in history in terms of thinking about the online space for receiving therapy services. I guess the question is, how did you decide to do that instead of, you know, thinking about the classic in-person type of therapy modality?
Yeah. So I've been doing online therapy since 2014. And I originally... there was a few parts to that decision. One was my own personal values. One of my top values in life is freedom. And I love to travel. And anytime I've had a more traditional job, I'm like always maxing out my time off and taking way more time off than I'm supposed to. And I just really wanted to create a life where I could have freedom and still do a career I loved. And having an office felt incongruent with that. So that was part of my decision. The other part of it was I was working at a correctional facility and couldn't dedicate full time to my practice right away. And I was kind of toe dipping, thinking, can I really build this thing? And I wasn't positive. So I was like, let me just try this online therapy and see how good I am at building a practice before I go all in and rent an office. And also, I really would rather do online therapy anyway, but is it going to work? Is it going to be as good for clients? So I had all these kind of doubts and questions, which I'm sure tons of consumers do as well. And just figured, you know what? I'm just going to try it. Let me just see what happens. And it's awesome. And it's been great. And people love it.
Yeah. So do you think there's things that people get out of online therapy or video therapy that they wouldn't get if they went in person?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was actually something that surprised me a little bit is, you know, the obvious benefits are convenience, right? Like you don't have to dedicate time to driving to and from an office and figuring out parking and, potentially figuring out childcare and just all the things that there's a lot of hidden costs that go along with in-person therapy that we don't even necessarily think of, like the cost of taking time off of work and not being able to make money for those hours if you're an hourly worker, or the cost of childcare and the cost of gas and parking and all that stuff. So that's the obvious benefit, is all that's gone. And you can just literally book an hour and have your therapy from home, from work, from the car. Like some of my clients are in the car and that's their most private place. It works. It all works. The less obvious benefits that I didn't expect necessarily were that people feel more comfortable in their own space and they open up faster. So kind of like the gear up time that it takes to really be fully open with a therapist, I've found is shorter in the online space than it is in person.
Are there disadvantages that you could see?
So research has shown that with almost all populations, online therapy is just as effective as in person. And there are studies, tons and tons and tons of studies on this, particularly because the government's been using it a lot for a long time with veterans and with active duty military who need help, but they don't necessarily have access in wherever they are. So there's been a lot of research that shows the outcomes are the same across the board. Populations I wouldn't recommend online therapy for, though, if somebody's really actively suicidal and may need to be, and this is more for the clinician to know than the client. So if somebody is suicidal and you have to, like, they have a plan and they're planning on acting it out right after that session, if you were in person, you would hold them and you would have them hospitalized. Online, you can't always do that because you don't always know where they are. You can't, you know, essentially physically stop them. So that's one risk that really practitioners need to understand and kind of screen out. And I've heard for the populations I work with, it's fine. I think for some severely mentally ill populations, it could be really challenging. Like if they have a paranoia about devices being listened to because they're paranoid, schizophrenic or something like that, then it's online's probably not the best format for them. But for relatively high functioning or even moderately functioning individuals and couples, it's great.
And I know a large part of your practice is working with couples in the remote or online space. How does that work?
Yeah, it works great. People can be in the same room, or one can be at work and one can be at home, and they are able to fit it in. Like with three people's schedules, trying to coordinate all of that, it's challenging.
Right.
And it's a huge barrier to entry for a lot of couples to even just figure out when to meet. So if you kind of remove some of those barriers to scheduling, it's great for couples to be able to fit it in and make it work. Or like, again, to not have to find childcare because they're home and the kids are asleep, or the kids are, you know, entertained on an iPad for an hour. And so they can get away and kind of have their session without having to figure out, how am I going to explain to family why I need childcare? Maybe they don't want to share that. Secondly, who am I going to find? Do I have to hire a babysitter? There's just so much more to navigate that it creates too many barriers for a lot of couples to even reach out.
Yeah. Do you prefer the couples to be in the same room when you're doing couples therapy with them?
Yeah, I do. The modality that I use, Imago therapy, I have them turned towards each other in session. And so while you can absolutely communicate and have great sessions if you're in separate rooms, if there's the option of being in the same place, it's my preference, because there's just something about the space between those two and the eye contact between them and the energy between them when they're turning towards each other and really looking at each other.
Could you tell us a little bit about Imago therapy and what it is?
Yeah, it's a very, how do I want to say this succinctly? Imago therapy is a modality that helps couples go from just acting unconsciously and reacting to each other based on their childhood wounding. And it helps you kind of bring all that into the consciousness and understand what your childhood wounding is and how your partner is triggering it, and gives you a choice about being less reactive. Once you have that understanding, you can be less reactive and you can make a choice, a conscious choice, to react or not react based on what your knowledge is. So it kind of just slows down the process of those unconscious reactions. And it does it through dialogue, a really structured way of communicating with each other.
So you, in a sense, you teach a new dialogue for the couple.
Yeah. You teach the couples how to communicate in a really safe and structured way. And they use that anytime they're feeling reactive to process what's going on for them.
Okay. Yeah. And are there types of conflict that it or kind of types of dynamics between couples that it works especially well for?
No, I mean, really, communication is the number one thing that affects relationships and not handling conflict well. So whether the problem is an affair or just fights getting out of control or any, you know, parenting issues, like anything, if you learn how to communicate effectively, you can get through most things. So there wouldn't be like a particular problem that it would be contraindicated for.
Okay. Another question I have, I just did another podcast on EFT or emotionally focused therapy. Mm-hmm. What are the main differences between EFT and Imago therapy?
EFT is they're both attachment based. So they're both based in the belief that we need a secure attachment to be well functioning in a relationship, and that often our attachment from childhood impacts our relationships. So that would be a similarity. Mm-hmm. The difference would be partly Imago is much more structured. There's exercises for the couple to do. There's homework often that helps them reach certain goals. With EFT, it's much more just about the processing in session. Sue Johnson doesn't believe in homework and doesn't believe in kind of giving them stuff to go home to do. So EFT is much more focused in creating a safe bond between the couple in session, which Imago is as well, but Imago uses the dialogue to achieve that and exercises outside of session to achieve that, whereas EFT just uses the session to achieve that.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to think about specific or general cases, right? But I was thinking this idea that the listener, I mean, what would be a general example that you could give maybe the listener about a typical issue that might come up in an Imago session and how you what that dialogue would be?
So I think a lot of people who are attracted to Imago are having communication issues, and they are finding that they're really reactive when they get in conflict, and maybe they're yelling or even getting as far as throwing things and just way more reactive than they realize they should be. And so the attraction there is that the dialogue really structures you and helps you be less reactive. So it's a three-part dialogue. The first step is mirroring, which is repeating back what you hear your partner say. The second step is validating, so kind of explaining why what they just said makes sense. And then the third step is empathy, and that's kind of taking a guess at how they might be feeling. And validating and empathizing with your partner is very de-escalating and it's very regulating. And so people feel heard, they feel seen, they feel understood, and that reduces reactivity a ton.
Got it. Yeah. I was just thinking during times like this when people are in close proximity with their partners and it's kind of, they're not used to that sort of setting. I'm sure that these sorts of dialogues could be very helpful for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do have a kind of freebie handout that I've created for potential clients to learn a little bit more about the dialogue that I'd be happy to share with your community.
Yeah. We can make sure we have a link to that on the site. But you know, maybe because everyone is talking about these kind of being at home and not being able to have as much many freedoms as they're used to. I'm sure this has come up in your couples therapy sessions over the last few days or weeks. I don't know. I mean, I guess, are there certain, you know, patterns that you see or certain suggestions that you can give to people, you know, during these difficult times in terms of interacting with their partner?
Yeah, I think just people also are kind of wondering, what do we do with ourselves during this time? And I'm actually doing a Instagram live session on this tonight for people to just get some ideas about, like, what can I do with myself right now?
Yeah, right.
I think there's a lot of great things you could do as a couple to really enhance your relationship with this downtime together. So often our lives are so busy and we just don't make time to really connect with our partner in a meaningful way and look at our relationships and go, is this what we want to create? And really being intentional about that. So one thing couples could do is create a relationship vision. And most people have seen or heard of creating vision boards where they kind of set some goals for themselves and cut out magazine pictures or words that represent those goals and make a collage on a poster board. And I would recommend doing that for your relationship and kind of coming up with, like, what are our goals for this relationship? How do we want to feel? How do we want to communicate? And what kind of things do we want to be doing? And create a vision board for it, for what you're creating in your relationship. So I think that's a fun way you could really connect. You could also ask each other questions that you don't normally ask. Like, what are your hopes and dreams? And have they changed since we've last talked about it? Or what's your favorite song right now? You know, there's so many different things that, like, we just assume we know each other because we've been together for so long. And that's not the case. A lot of the times, like, people change, we're constantly changing. So just kind of getting to know each other again. And there's actually an app that Doctors John and Julie Gottman have created that you can use as a guide for this. It's called Gottman Love Decks.
Gottman Love Decks. Okay.
I think so. Let me just double check that. And, oh no, Gottman Card Decks. Sorry. And it gives you all kinds of questions you can ask each other. Just open-ended questions about sex, questions about you as a person. And it really gives you a lot of great stuff to do as a couple. Mm-hmm. And it's free. Mm-hmm. So it's a great resource.
Yeah. So can we, the live session, is that going to be available, you know, after this evening or?
It depends if I can figure out how to save it.
Got it.
In the past, when I've done lives, I can't figure out how to save it afterwards and it disappears into the ethos. So I don't know.
Got it. Oh, well, I don't know if we can get this up in time. As we were talking, you're talking about things that you kind of creative things that you can do with your partner. What happens when one member of the partner is kind of more dysregulated during these times?
Yeah. So I think having a dialogue about it, like learning this new skill of how to be a great listener and just asking, rather than trying to fix it or change it, just holding space for your partner's experience and saying, yeah, it makes sense that you're scared right now. This is weird. This is scary. There's a lot going on in this world that we've never had to deal with. Of course you're upset. Of course you're freaking out. Rather than minimizing or dismissing their emotions, which is our tendency, is to just make it go away because it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So we often go into fixing mode versus just holding space for the experience and not trying to change it. So that would be my biggest advice, is the more regulated partner, don't try to fix the less regulated one. Don't try to change their feelings. Just hear them and go, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of just what the process is for Imago anyway, right? Yeah. I mean, right. So those three steps, and it ends in empathy, which is just, you know, sitting with their sadness or, you know, discomfort about something that they feel unsettled about.
Yeah.
So, okay. So another question, I'm just kind of thinking of things as we're going on. Back to the idea of this online therapy space, how do you find somebody? How do you know what you need and who's going to be helpful for you and who's going to be the right person in terms of an online therapist?
Yeah. Well, now I think you have more choices than you ever have before, because pretty much every therapist has just gone online. So
right now,
if you
had
asked me this a week ago, you would have pretty limited choices. Now the world is your oyster. But I would say there are several large companies that provide online therapy, like Talkspace and BetterHelp and American Well. There's a few others. But I'd be a little bit wary of those just because the level of training in the therapists who work for them is often a little bit subpar. And I'm a firm believer that you should go to somebody who specializes in whatever your problem is. So if you're dealing with anxiety, go to somebody who specializes in anxiety. And if you're dealing with relationship issues, go to somebody who specializes in relationship issues. Because in the therapy world, generalists, sometimes, you know, if you're trying to serve everybody, you're not super great at serving anybody. So go to somebody who specializes in that issue. And a lot of the times that means they have advanced level training, they've gone above and beyond what's required of their graduate degree. So that's the kind of thing I would be looking for when searching for an online therapist, is search for somebody who knows your problem in and out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. I mean, in normal times, I could imagine if you live in an area where there just aren't a lot of therapists available, the benefit of this therapy is that you could really, you're not limited in finding someone who's a specialist because your geography is not a limitation.
That's a great point. I actually hadn't even considered that.
In terms of different states, in order to do online therapy, the therapist does have to be licensed in that specific state, correct?
Yeah, though that's changing rapidly with the coronavirus being present. So they're loosening up some of the restrictions on that. I mean, it's literally changing hour to hour. So as of now, as of yesterday when I last checked, that was still true, but I'm seeing emails come through. I'm on listservs and in Facebook groups for online therapists. I'm seeing emails come through that's even changing as of like today. So
got it. So that may not be the same moving forward. Okay.
Because what's happening is a lot of students are going home. So for instance, one of my friends, a lot of her practice is UCLA students, and they're now not going to school anymore. They're online. So they just flew home. So there have been restrictions lifted where those students can keep working with their therapist for continuity of care, even if they're in a different state.
Yeah, that's great. And another benefit of online therapy, just if you're moving to, you know that you don't have to physically be in the same area as your therapist if you've had a connection with them and have done good work with them. That's a great benefit.
Yeah. Right? Even before all the coronavirus stuff came up, they were working on something called Psych Pact, where at this point, 17 or 18 states have come together and said, if you're licensed in one state, you can practice in all 17 or 18 of these states. So that hasn't been finalized yet, but they're pushing it through faster now because of coronavirus. So
that's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, I think so many people are seeking care right now and really freaking out and having a lot of anxiety around what's going on. So the community is trying to make care as accessible as possible for people.
Yeah. Have you been pretty busy these last few days?
Yeah, it has been. It's been a mix of people canceling because they're so overwhelmed and or they don't have income anymore, like personal trainers and people like that where their gyms are closed. It's been a mix of that and then a mix of people having way more time on their hands now and way more flexibility to finally seek therapy. So,
And I bet the latter, I mean, when there's more time, when you're busy with your life, you don't necessarily take the time to kind of pay attention to your emotional well-being.
Yeah.
And now that you have more time and just a higher level of understandable anxiety, you know, it seems like that would be a time when somebody would think that therapy could be of of benefit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do some people come into couples therapy? I mean, which direction does it usually go? Does somebody go into individual therapy and then realize that they would like to focus more on the couple? Or does someone start in couples therapy and realize they really want to move more towards work on themselves? Or is it pretty hard to tell sometimes?
It's pretty equally split. A lot of time, so my process is when a couple comes to me, I do a free 30-minute consultation just to make sure it's a good fit all around. And then I have them take a very in-depth assessment separately, and then I meet with them each individually for a session. And the assessment looks at their individual functioning as well as their functioning as a couple. And so oftentimes when I meet with them individually, I will recommend individual therapy in addition to the couple's work, or a lot of times people are referred to me from their individual therapist and they're already in individual therapy, and the individual therapist has noticed by the way they talk about their relationship that they should probably be in couples therapy as well. So a lot of times people do both at the same time.
Okay. And then sometimes this idea that, you know, they both members of the couple want to see the same therapist for their own individual therapy. How do you navigate that?
It's really a case by case basis, but that's usually challenging when it comes to confidentiality and what can I say in my individual session that is safe in the individual session. So typically I prefer to refer out for individual work if I'm working with a couple. But there are certain times where, like, let's say I'm working with the couple and the individuals are just really dysregulated and having a hard time sticking to the structure of the dialogue. I might do some individual sessions with each of them and work on self-soothing strategies and self-care and stress management and just some basic kind of getting them up to the point where they can participate effectively in couples therapy. So that's why I say it's kind of case by case. I usually wouldn't work with one individual and not the other, because then that can create kind of a triangulation effect for the partner who's not being worked with individually.
Right. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time. I'm glad to hear a little bit more about the online therapy and how it's changing day to day, and a little bit more about couples and Imago therapy. Is there anything you wish that we had talked about before we end?
I think one thing that a lot of consumers worry about is, will I feel as connected to my therapist in the online space? And so I think it might be helpful just to address that and let people know that, yes, it is a little bit different, but if you kind of consider, if you go out to eat with a friend and you're sitting across the table from each other, you can still see all of their necessary body language from the waist up, really, to communicate effectively. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't change the experience just because you can't see them from the waist down. So, you know, you can get all the nuances of nonverbal communication even through online therapy. Sure, like, you're not going to see if they're tapping their foot, but that's not going to make a huge difference in your understanding of them as a human. And sometimes seeing each other through a screen, like I said, it kind of reduces the feeling of vulnerability in the client a little bit, and they feel a little less confronted when you're on a screen versus in person, and they just get comfortable a little faster. So,
yeah, you know, I was thinking, because I've moved mainly to video chat with video sessions with patients, and I realize I talk a lot with my hands. Mm-hmm. And yesterday the screen was only showing my face, and I realize I have to step back a little bit in order for my patients to be able to get the full effect of, you know, how I communicate.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. I just realized that last night, that I need to start moving to show more of my body in order to be more, you know, to be able to show more of myself.
Yeah, exactly.
In that way. So do you tell people you suggest that they sit a certain distance away from their computer?
Yeah. If I can tell that well, with couples, they already are that, because they both have to fit in the screen. So in order to do that, they have to push the computer farther back. So already I'm pretty much guaranteed to be able to see couples from the waist up just by virtue of them having to fit two people in a screen. Mm-hmm. With individuals, it varies a little bit. And sometimes I do ask them to move the computer or move the phone so that I can see more of them. It just depends on the person and how, like right. you said, how animated they are with their body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing I've noticed when I've talked to more people who I already know online that I've never seen where they live. And I mean, yeah. they're not walking around the whole time, but just to see what background they choose and, you know, interesting pieces of artwork that they choose to have up, or just this idea of how clean they keep their space or how tidy it that yeah. is very important. I think it shows a part of someone that maybe I wouldn't get if they came into the office to see me.
You're so right. You get so much more information from online therapy that you wouldn't get otherwise. And pets also get to be a part of it, which people find really helpful. It's so interesting. When my clients have dogs or cats, they often are very curious about what's going on the screen, and they come over and look. Mm. But when a couple's like really getting into some big emotions, dogs often come up to them and just cuddle. And it's so, it's so regulating for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that they might not be able to do if they were in the office with you unless they brought their dog in.
Yeah,
all right. Exactly. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk a little bit about your therapy. And we'll have a link to your website, which is couplesLearn.com, correct?
Yeah. And my Instagram is couplesLearn as well. So if you guys are on Instagram, that's a good place to connect with me.
Okay. Well, again, this is Sarah Shevitz. Thank you so much for talking with us. And we really appreciate your time and your expertise.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care.